Good morning, church. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. You may be wondering what I'm doing up here. Kind of wondering that myself. No. I am Pastor Hunter's job security. At least that's what I told him. I told him I'm going to be his job security, and he laughed and he said, no, they're going to love you because they're going to get to enjoy lunch today. So so that was his words of encouragement. Thank you, Pastor Hunter, for when you listen to this. When you listen to this, thank you. But it is an honor and a privilege that you guys, your leadership has asked me to speak today, and I'm excited about this word that that we're going to go through and what we have been given. I'm excited about what Eastview is doing with their missions. We have a leader, a pastor, who will be the tip of the spear for those missions and do that in a foreign nation, foreign land. And that, you know, and what we're called to do, to go and spread and take this gospel to all peoples and all nations. But as I was preparing for this, I started thinking about the spiritual warfare series that we just went through, and Ecclesiastes 1 and 2 that we went through last week. And in the spiritual warfare series, I seen some things in my own life that I could work on, some things that I did do well at and things that I needed some help with. And there was we seen that so often the enemy will come into our life and that he will dangle that shiny object. And often that blessing may actually be a curse. And then we also see the difference between temptation and testing, how we can often be tested by God in order for our faith to grow us, to strengthen us for a battle that is yet to come. And then last week, as we were studying Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, which happens to be personally one of my favorite books of the Bible, my family and I, before we ever make a move, whether we're going to make a financial decision or a move with the church, we always go through Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, because what better way to make a decision than to hear and receive knowledge from the wisest man that ever existed? And what we see in Ecclesiastes, that is the end of Solomon's life. And he's given us some advice. And what did we hear last week? What we heard was that Solomon was saying that everything in this world is temporary. Everything. Everything that we work towards so often, that we spend the majority of our life working towards, is temporary. And so it really got me to thinking, especially when we heard the words that, look, Solomon told us, he said, I've had more than you. I've built more than you. I've had more money than you. I've had more women than you. Nothing, these lips have tasted the pleasures of life, he said. He said, there's nothing these eyes haven't seen. He said, I have had it all. And you know, even history supports that when it comes to talking about King Solomon, that no one to this day can match the riches that he had. So I believe he was speaking the truth. And even with all that being said, he said, all is vanity. It all means absolutely nothing. And if you get to the end of Ecclesiastes, you'll see what he was talking about, because he says the one thing that means something, to sum it all up, is follow God. Follow God. And that was just amazing to hear that word. And also to hear how the spiritual warfares are preparing us for a battle that may come down the line later in life, and how the decision-making process of what is temporary and what is the eternal treasure, what we heard in Ecclesiastes, how that can play a big role in our Christian walk. And then we ended the message last week with King David. King David giving Solomon some advice. And what was his advice that we ended with last week? His advice was to Solomon. He said, hey, I want you to be courageous. I want you to be a man. I want you to be strong as you're getting prepared to lead Israel. But most importantly, I want you to follow God. I want you to follow His commandments, follow His laws, so that you will lack in nothing. Lack in nothing. And that is amazing. And I want to take the words of David and I want to continue on to today's message. And that's what was working and marinating in my mind throughout the past few weeks as I was preparing for today. And so where we're going to be at today is 1 Samuel. It's actually going to be chapter 17. And you may be thinking in your mind, yes, this is David and Goliath. Okay, the first time I'm going to speak about David and Goliath, the one story, the Vacation Bible School story that everybody knows. Look, I had that spiritual battle myself as I was praying and meditating on this word. I told the Lord, I said, no, I'm not going to speak on David and Goliath. And then I got down and he was like, read it. And he showed me something new because this word is life. And whatever we're going through, it speaks to us in those moments. And he showed me something new. So what can we learn from David? So we see at the end of his life what he told Solomon was important. While he was on his deathbed, he said, follow God so you will lack in nothing. So what do we do in 1 Samuel chapter 17? 1 Samuel chapter 17 is David's beginning of his life. He's somewhere around the age of 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, he was just anointed as king of Israel. And he was anointed by the prophet Samuel through the calling of God. God had put him into this position. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see the battle that we all know. Spoiler alert, David wins the battle. We know. All right, we're not even going to focus on the battle. But so often in our Christian walk, our everyday Christian walk, we don't pay attention to the small steps of faith that take place before the giant comes or before the mountain stands in the way. So today's word is going to be more of a word of encouragement. It's not going to be a huge word to the lost. It's a more of a word to the encouragement that this walk does not end. For those who have been wrecked by the gospel, been saved by Jesus, this walk never ends. If you didn't know this, it's not supposed to be easy here walking on earth. Because you know why? This is not our home. Our home is not here, no matter how much we try to play home and try to do the things that Solomon called vanity. This is not our home. That's why it's difficult. That's why it's hard. It's hard to be the hands and feet of Jesus because it takes faith and it takes work each and every day of our lives. And so what I see in the beginning of David's life here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is he's a young man at 15 that understands this. He sees that it has never changed from the beginning, and we see that it has never changed from the beginning to Revelations. From Genesis to Revelations, it's always been the same. It's always been the same. What has been the same? It's spreading the word of our God, what our God has done, what our God is currently doing, or what our God is going to do. And that's what we see, that David has the faith and the hope in that same God that we're here serving today. And so what I see in David's life as he was preparing for this battle, I see so much of that in my own life. I see that this Christian walk is a mission that does not end. It is a mission that is always going to continue. No matter how much I think about myself, when I close these eyes in death, this mission is going to continue. This mission will continue to progress. And so in our walk, in our Christian and everyday walk, it is more than just about being at church. It is more than just about going to lunch after church. It is more than just about being at your job. This is a mission that never ends. This is a mission that ever ends, those who have been wrecked by the gospel. And so what is a mission? A mission is a requirement. It's a requirement. The simple vocabulary, the simple definition to mission is requirement. Requirement. And so what are we required to do according to Scripture? We're required to take this good news to everyone. To everyone. And I'm so thankful for a church that supports that, as we have our mission team that is in a foreign land right now doing exactly that. But also a call to you. Sometimes we get a little lazy when we're at home, when we're in home, and we forget that when we're at Walmart, we're on mission too. When we're at our job, we're on mission to. And so every day, I want us to wake up encouraged with this story of David, that this is a mission in progress. And progress means simply to go. It means to go, that you do not stop. And so right here in this scripture reading, we're going to start at verse 14. And guys, I did not want to read this many verses, but we're going down to 37. So please, please bear with me. And then we will dive into what God has for us today. Starting at verse 14, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. In verse 14, it says, David was the youngest. The three eldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth to Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And for 40 days the Philistines came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David, his son, take your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousand. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and he left the sheep and the keeper and took the provisions and he went as Jesse had commanded him to do. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks. And he went and he greeted his brothers. And as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And this time David had heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw him, they fled from him and they were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David said to the man who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of our living God? And the people answered him, in the same way, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. We're almost there. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why have you come down here? And whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumptions and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And now I'm the youngest brother, so I get that. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not but a word? And then he turned away from home and turned toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before the king Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to fight against this Philistine. You're not able to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and I struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the one living God. And last verse, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Go and the Lord be with you. So how in the world can this relate to our everyday Christian walk? So over the past few weeks, we've been talking about spiritual warfare and really preparing ourselves for those battles that are to come. Many times we have no idea who our giant's going to be. And as you see in this reading, he didn't realize he was going into battle when he first started. It wasn't until we got to about halfway through the chapter that he was like, oh, I'm going to battle. And his wheels were turning. But you see him, that he was faithful and that he was ready. So how does this relate to us each and every day as we do our Christian walk? There is always going to be this one thing. There's always going to be this one thing. There's going to be the potential for excuses. There's going to be the potential for excuses in your walk. And that's the first thing I want to focus on. David had so many potential excuses. He had so many opportunities to say, well, you know what? You're right. And he could have walked away, but he didn't. He stayed faithful and became the savior of Israel that day because of God, the work God did through him. In our walk, there's going to be potential for excuses each and every day as you're walking through our small town, as you're at your workplace, as you're at church. And so the first excuse that we are introduced to, that we see that David could have turned around and just went the other way, or not taken this anointment seriously that God had given him and called him to be a king. The first excuse is that David is the youngest of all the brothers. He's the youngest of all the brothers. And so what do I hear when I see this? What do I hear when I see this in our Christian walk? I hear that David was not qualified. David was not qualified to do the job that he was given because he was the youngest by the looks and the standards of the world. But what you have to understand is not the one who is called that is important, but the one who calls you. The same goes for your Christian walk each and every day. Am I the only person that goes to Walmart and sees somebody and plays hide and seek because you try to avoid them? But hey, sometimes you're meant to cross paths with them because you're meant to reach them in that moment. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through. And we have to understand that God qualifies the called. God qualifies the called. David was the youngest. He was not the biggest in stature. He didn't look like a warrior by any means. But God took care of it. God qualifies the called. So when you're walking in your everyday Christian walk, remind yourself this is a mission in progress. This does not stop. I know I'm not going to be qualified for some of these things, but yet I have a God who is with me. I have a God who is with me. The second potential excuse that I can see in David's life and in our everyday Christian walk is that David was just delivering lunch. He was just the DoorDash guy. He was just the Grubhub guy. He wasn't supposed to be going and fighting the mightiest warrior of the world. But yet, he finds himself doing that. What do I see and how does that relate to us? It is more than just another day at work. It is more than just another day of you at church. It is more than just another day. It is an opportunity. It is an opportunity to reach. It's more than just about delivering lunch. It's more than that. And it always has been. It has not changed since Genesis to Revelations. It's about what God has done, what God is currently doing, what God is going to do. And for us to take that word out and to give others hope. To give the blind some sight. It is more than just another day. It is more. Third excuse that comes his way. David's brother told him his intentions were evil. His intentions were evil. He could have turned around. You know what? You're right, brother. I'm trying to just see this and do this on my own. He says your intentions were evil. Have you ever been in that situation where you had the best of intentions in your walk? And then here comes the fiery darts. They come at you. Here comes the spiritual warfare. They're coming at you. Your intentions were evil. He could have just walked away, but it would have changed everything if he walked away at that moment. But he knew that this was a mission in progress, that this does not end right here, that he was anointed for a reason, and the same goes for you in your Christian walk. People are put into our lives for a reason. It's not by an accident. We can't live Christianity accidentally. We didn't just accidentally show up to church today. We don't just accidentally have church. We have to be intentional with this walk. We can't stop moving. We have to keep progressing, not regressing. Because you have to remember, we are fighting from victory, not for victory. We are fighting from victory, not for victory. The victory has already been won, so that means you, as a Christian, you have to stay on the offense. When the fiery darts are coming your way, you have to keep progressing. It is always a mission in progress. The fourth excuse that we see here is the king told David he was in the wrong profession. He told him he was in the wrong profession. He said, but you are but a youth. And Goliath has been at war since his youth. He's trained for this. You're not. Where have you seen that in your life? Where have you felt that in your life? Maybe you need to hear this right here. All who have been saved, all who have been wrecked by the gospel, we are all called to ministry. Every one of us. It's not just the pastor's responsibility. It's not just the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It's not just the small group's leader responsibility. It's everyone who has been changed by this gospel, by our Jesus. Amen. We are all called to ministry. Don't allow those excuses to take place in your life. You see, a lot of things about these excuses, they may be true. He may not be qualified. You know, he may have a little bit of, I want to see this battle in him. And the same goes for our lives. But we have to stay faithful for what we have been given. Because to whom much is given, much is expected. To whom much is given. And if you have been given eternal life, you've been given a lot. You've been given a lot. So all who are saved, we are all called to ministry. And fifth, the fifth thing, we didn't get there. It's just a few verses down, but I felt like it was important to talk about, is the battle armor just didn't quite fit David. He tried on King Saul's armor to go to war, to go to battle against the mightiest warrior of the world at the time. And he was 15 years old. You can't lose sight that he was only 15. Okay. He was 15 years old and he was like, hey, this armor doesn't fit. This armor doesn't fit. You know, I'm going. God has called me to do this. God has delivered me from the lion and the bear. He will deliver me from this man also. The battle armor didn't fit. How does that relate to our lives? There's going to be a point in your faith, in this mission in progress, when the safety factor is gone. When there is no longer a safety net. And you just have to walk on faith. And it's hard. It's difficult, but you just have to be willing to pick up the stones. Just be willing to pick up the stones. Let's let God do the miracles. The second topic that I wanted to speak with you about is how did he blow through these potential excuses just like nothing? Because what you need to understand is the timeline is not real clear here. The longest span of time was probably David traveling from Jesse to the actual battle. But once he gets to the battle, what does he do? He drops the breads and the cheeses with a keeper and he runs to the battle line. So I'm going to say that happened. Four of these potential excuses happened within a span of 24 hours. You know, I was talking to Brent and he was like, you know, it's not real clear on how long this was. And we think it happened really fast and the same will happen to our lives. So how was David prepared for this? How was he prepared to go right through these excuses, ignore them, and see that this mission has to go? This mission has to work. Number two, you have to have a holy awareness mindset. You have to have a holy awareness mindset. I believe that we can see this with David. He was a young man. We've all been 15 once in our lives, so we're headed in that direction. And having that holy awareness mindset is important. But I think what David's seen is that his God had anointed him as king. And these are my people. These are my people. Just as Christians in our walk, all the people of the earth are God's creation. They are His children, and so we should care for them like David cared for the Israelites. That these are our people. When they hurt, we hurt. We go and reach also. But we see that in chapter 16, when he was anointed king, that got his wheels to going, got his faith to going. So how does that compare to me? How does that compare to you? I'm not a king. I'm not a queen. How am I not supposed to fall to these excuses? How am I supposed to have this holy awareness type mindset? Well, let me share with you some scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession," for God's own possession. How does that relate to you today? That is not just for Asia Minor. That's not just for Turkey, who Peter was speaking to. Because if you see and you keep reading, this is for all generations, for generations to continue. That is the church of even today. For all who have been wrecked by the gospel, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for His own possession. And then also in Galatians 4:6, it tells us this, "And because you are His sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave to this world, but a son. And if a son," listen, "if a son, then an heir through God." An heir through God. Are we that much different than David? We are heirs, those who have been wrecked by Jesus. We are heirs to an eternal kingdom that is to come. A kingdom that will be worth it. Are we that much different in what we're fighting for? We may not see our giant. We may not see our mountain, but we can't stop moving. We can't stop moving. We have to stay on mission. And then the third thing that I see that David does. I'm all over the place with this microphone. I'm sorry. Is that David has confidence that God is in this. David has confidence that God is in this. We see him push through the excuses that he could have made. And some of them were true. You know, we talked about that. Some of them were true. But he said, "No, God has called me to this position. God has called me to this place. I'm going to go in faith." We see that he had the holy awareness that he had been called, and now he has the confidence that God is in this. And we see this because he goes and actually fights Goliath. He actually goes and fights this warrior who has been training all his life for this moment. In our Christian walk, in our everyday life, I need you to take some pressure off yourself and understand this. That throughout all the scripture, not one person did the miracle. All the heroes that we read in the Bible, not one of them performed the miracle. Take that pressure off yourself right now as you are going and reaching, and understand God is the one who performs the miracles. God is the one who performs the miracles. Who was, who is, and is to come. Our God, our Alpha, our Omega, the King of Kings, He is the one that performs it every time. We just have to be faithful. We just have to be faithful in going and picking up the stones in the process. This mission, it never ends. It never ends. I want to leave you with the words that God told Jeremiah. Jeremiah was lacking some confidence in his time, and God told him this. He said, "I am the Lord. I am the God of all mankind. He said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" And I promise you, from what I read, there's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing too hard in your Christian walk for him. He can handle it, and he can perform the miracles. But it is our job to stay in progression. It is our job to stay on the offense. It has always been more than just another day in this Christian walk. It has always been more than just another day. Have the holy awareness of who you are, that you are meant to be set apart. You are different. You have been given much through eternal life through Jesus. Each moment in life is always more than a coincidence. So stay on mission. And in the words of Pastor Hunter Jones, in the end of every text message, keep the faith. I got that wrote down in my notes. We were talking about in Sunday school class. Keep the faith. Stay on mission. Why do we need to stay on mission? Why is it important to stay on mission? Because a recent church stat says this. This is what it tells us here. It says that 90% of teenagers, when they turn 18, will not return to church. It says that since COVID has happened, the church is at its least in attendance that it has ever been since numbers have been taken. That does not look like a nation or a people that is on mission. And so let's be those people who are on mission. Let's be those people who progress this gospel and we show other people hope. We give other people sight because we can see in our nation that people are hurting, that people need help, and all around the world. And we have the keys to the kingdom. We have the keys to the kingdom. We just got to spread it, and we got to be willing to go and pick up the stones. So if worship team, if you would go ahead and prepare. Oh man, Hunter's going to get me for this one. It's before 12 o'clock. I won't hear the end of it. If you would, stand with me as we get ready to pray, as we get ready to worship. Remember that every day is a mission, guys. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop just because you leave this church building, just because you leave these people. It doesn't stop. We do this for our sons and our daughters. We do this for our grandchildren's sake. They need Jesus too. Amen. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us today. Thank you for showing us this story from 3,000 to 4,000 years ago and how it relates to us today and how it's never changed and how you have never changed. And I pray that we are faithful, God, in picking up the stones and that we stay on mission, Lord, and we do not stop this until you return to retrieve your church, Lord. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all the church says in harmony. Amen.